As you know, today is the start of COP26, the UN Climate Change Conference, taking place in Glasgow and host... Oh, look, I had instructions. Completely forgotten about them, but I didn't think you'd be able to see them anyway. There we are. COP26 starts today, the UN Climate Change Conference. It's taking place in Glasgow. It's hosted by the UK government. It has been described as the last best hope for the world to get its act together to limit global warming to well below 2 degrees and aim for no more than 1.5 degrees, as agreed at COP21 in Paris. The thing is, the commitments made in Paris didn't come close to doing what they set out to do. Most experts believe that the window for achieving that temperature limit is closing very, very fast. There is a unique urgency to COP26. It runs until the 12th of November, and it's the biggest gathering of world leaders ever to take place in the UK. It's absolutely imperative that decisions and commitments are made here that will speed up change. Because it's not actually that no change is happening around the world. I saw a TED talk this week by the Canadian climate scientist, who's also a Christian, called Catherine Hayhoe, who's brilliant, by the way. Do look her up if you haven't heard her speak, who says there are all kinds of reasons to be hopeful, but nothing's happening fast enough. And I heard another climate scientist on the radio a couple of weeks ago who backed that up by saying that our government had in fact sped up, but they'd sped up from a walk to a gentle jog. And actually what we need to be doing is sprinting. So that's where we are. And it seems that what we need from COP26, in a nutshell, is for the world to break into a sprint. In our second reading today from Mark's Gospel, we heard Jesus emphasize the most important commandments, that we should love God and love our neighbor. We're all only too aware that our neighbors, our sisters and brothers around the world, are suffering now in a way that we're not so much or so obviously yet from the effects of this climate emergency, and we also know perfectly well that they've done the least to cause it and are paying the heaviest price. For millions, this is leading to more poverty, more hunger, more extreme weather events, more disease, more and accelerating damage to the natural world, more likelihood of them being forced to leave the communities and traditions that give us all identity and a home, and start a brand new life somewhere completely unfamiliar. More of all the things that make it difficult, if not impossible, for individuals and families and communities to live the life in all its fullness that God came to earth in Jesus to bring. There are so many examples of this, but here's just one simple one. In Kenya, we hear that long periods of drought mean that people go hungry when crops fail. The rains used to be reliable, but they're now fewer and unpredictable. Without crops, many families have lost livestock as well. And as well as being hungry, they struggle to make enough money to send their children to school. Knock-on effects, one thing leads to another, which leads to another, which leads to another. And as you can see on the screen, though Naomi and Rosalia can't control the weather, they're seizing control where they can. Amazing women, like so many people across the world, raising awareness and advocating for change. Naomi's the chair of her local women's advocacy group on climate change, and they pass their knowledge on to others through song. I'm not going to inflict that on you today. But people in places where they're suffering enormously now are doing everything they can to change things. We live in one of the richest counties in one of the richest countries of the world. We are so much better equipped to deal with the effects of climate change than most of the rest of the world, which I'm pretty certain makes us as a nation rather more complacent about the whole issue than others are frankly in any position to be. And yet we're all part of God's creation, all part of God's family, those with the most and those with the least. Whether we live in Dorking or Westcott, or in a village in Kenya, or India, or China, or the low-lying and immediately threatened islands of the Maldives, or in West Papua. We all have a history, traditions, communities. We all have hopes and aspirations. We all have families, people that we love, children in our lives that we want good things and a good future for. We may look different, spend our days differently, eat different foods, wear different clothes, but in the fundamental business of our God-given life, there is so much common ground. The climate crisis is a storm we all face. In our shared humanity, all of us created by and made in the image of God, we may all be bobbing about in the same sea, but we are not all in the same boat. For some, the storm is stronger and the waves are already breaking. On a global scale, we're in the super yachts. So many of the neighbours we're called to love are barely on rafts. So what we've made this morning are prayer boats, and these are to remind us to pray throughout the next couple of weeks while the summit's taking place. Because though I am often filled with despair, anxiety, and frustration about the state of the planet, about how slowly those who could make a real difference are moving, and though I often feel that my own efforts are hopelessly small and insignificant, what I can always do is pray. And at this moment, that is one really good way of showing love for our neighbours. As we pray, we enter into God's love for the world he's made. And in this case, at this time, we're adding our voices to so many others desperate to see real change and resolve. So here are some of the things that we could be praying for over the next couple of weeks. Asking God, by his Spirit, to be in the talks, to raise the voices of the most vulnerable countries and people in a way that they can be properly heard, and for the necessary finance to be made available to them and used wisely. To give wisdom to those who have power in the largest emitting countries, that they'll recognise what needs to be done and recognise the urgency to do it, to grab hold of their responsibility and be amazingly ambitious in their commitments and actions, so that as a world we finally break into a sprint. That those, that those leaders will understand that each part of the natural world has a connection to every other, that everything we do has a knock-on effect. Everything we do to the natural world has a knock-on effect. That we are essentially indigenous people, part of this land we inhabit, part of creation, part of this astonishingly beautiful planet that, whatever Elon Musk seems to think, I'm pretty certain is our only home. There's nowhere else. There is no one else. And we can pray by God's Spirit to move the hearts of world leaders to recognize that we are all neighbors to one another. We're all part of one human family. Now, many different Christian organisations will be at COP26 exhibiting and talking to people in what's called the Green Zone. We're going to be sending out an email in the next couple of days with links to groups like Tearfund, Arosha, Christian Aid and Green Christian, each of whom will be regularly reflecting on what's happening and sharing points for prayer. And there's a lovely link I'm going to send out from Tearfund, which is a little film about the different areas at the COP. It's like a kind of virtual prayer walk. It takes us into all those areas and suggests things to pray for. Stop for a moment and pray. I thought it was really powerful. We're also going to send out links to environmental commentators so that you can follow them as they follow very closely what's going on and report and reflect on it. But however much you want to engage with this, what we can all do at this moment, and this is a really significant moment, COP26, as people of faith, as an eco-church, what we can do is pray. To keep our eyes fixed on the God of justice who loves creation and can bring restoration and peace. And I really hope over the next couple of weeks that perhaps you can put your prayer boat somewhere where you're going to walk past it a lot, in the kitchen, whatever, somewhere where you're going to see it, and that every time you see it, it will nudge you to say a prayer for one or many of those aspects of COP26 over the next fortnight. I hope it'll remind you to do that. Now, Louise is leading us in our intercessions a little bit later, but can we just hold up our boats as we pray together now? Lord God, Heavenly Father, Creator of the world, we come to you now in humility and hope. Send your Spirit to move through every part of COP26. We pray for all the world leaders attending. Give them wisdom, creativity, and a shared vision of hope for all creation. May they find the determination and ambition to take strong action to halt the destructive effects of climate change and the political will to act together for the common good. And may we play our part. Show us how best to respond to your call to love our neighbours around the world. Amen.